But stay curious, keep an open mind, and as always, I'm glad we get to spend some time. Welcome to Walsh Wednesday. On this week's episode, we start off with a spotlight on the Duchess Ulster Walk to End Alzheimer's, which happened on the walkway over the Hudson on Saturday, October 18th. After that, keeping right in line with Halloween season, we speak with up-and-coming Scream Queen, actress and model Autumn Ivy, about some of her latest film projects, including the horror thriller Viral and the social commentary Colorblind. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by Impact PR and Communications, MHA of Dutchess County, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Locks That Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins & Sape LLP, Attorneys at Law, V-Bash Med Spa and the Hudson Valley Ketamine Lounge, and Walsh Valuation.
I'm deeply honored to be with you here today on behalf of Alzheimer's Association for the world's largest event to fight this devastating disease. With nearly 11,000 people across Dutchess and Ulster counties living with Alzheimer's, this is a crisis that hits close to home. But looking out at this sea of purple out here, I'm in awe of the strength, determination of our community. I keep hearing that Walk Day is the biggest support group of the year because we gather with others who understand this journey. Whether you've walked this road personally, are here to support the Dutchess and Ulster communities, or simply believe in the Association's vision of a world without Alzheimer's and all other dementia, we are here because of you and for you. And it's because you walk that we can deliver 24/7 care and support, advocate fearlessly for people facing the disease, and fuel groundbreaking research across the globe, ushering in a new era of treatment and quality care that is already paving the way for a different future. Every dollar you've raised has brought us to this transformational moment. Because you walk, together we are making history. And this is only the beginning. Alzheimer's treatments have arrived. We now have FDA-approved drugs that can slow disease progression for those in the early stages. And there are more in the research pipeline. But we know that these new treatments aren't available or accessible for the majority of people living with Alzheimer's today. And this is why we won't rest until everyone living with the disease at any stage can get the treatment, care, and support they need and deserve.
Hey there, everybody. Right now, we are with the fabulous Meg Boyce. Of course, you've seen her on the program before. We're here at the Alzheimer's Walk in front of the research tent. So, Meg, you're running the research tent over here. You know, you talked about being a research champion on the program, of course. But you're at the Alzheimer's Walk. What can people expect when they come up to your tent here?
I am throwing at them everything about the brain health recipe. We now have a recipe that if people follow it pretty strictly, you can actually keep your brain 2 years younger than its actual age.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, that's impressive.
So things like what you eat, exercise, keeping your brain active, and always managing your medical.
Fantastic. And of course, people can grab that here at the event.
Yep.
But since this episode is airing after the event, where can people find this later? On the website, I assume?
You can go to alz.org. And you can find all the information about the brain health recipe.
Terrific. So, Meg, obviously, we've talked about Alzheimer's Association at length on other programs.
Yep.
But I want to ask everybody that I'm interviewing today, what slash who is the reason you are walking today?
I'm walking today for my father, who had vascular dementia, so another form of dementia. And I've been with the organization over 25 years. And so I walk for also all of the people that I helped care for over the last almost 30 years.
30 years now, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Now, I know you have plenty of research that you got to tell everybody, and there's other people you want me to meet. But before we wrap that up, what are you hoping that people get out of being here today?
I'm hoping that people find out that there is truly hope, that we are close to finding, if anything, a way to slow the progression, which we already have, but can we actually prevent the disease from happening, looking at things such as the lifestyle factors.
Absolutely, and I'm excited to see everybody walk. There's a lot of purple around here, so that's beautiful today, so appreciate it. I'm Connor.
And I'm Meg.
And as always, we're glad we get to
spend some time.
Beautiful, you're fantastic.
Today and every day, the Alzheimer's Association is here because of you and for you, as well as the Dutchess and Ulster communities. We set an ambitious goal this year at $275,000. Because of you, this was no match for your fundraising determination. We are now at $277,000 and counting. So of course, now I have a new challenge for you. A new challenge. Can we get to $300,000? Can we?
Yeah!
All right, now that's a big number. That's a big number, but the mission is too important to stop now. You have until December 31st, the end of the year, to collect additional donations. So we urge you to keep at it.
All right, so right now I'm with my friend from high school, Neil Tompkins. He's here with Northwestern Mutual. And also, you said you're part of the committee?
Yes, sir. I'm part of the executive leadership committee where we help fundraise and get these vendors here and raise money for the Dutchess County Alzheimer's Association.
Fantastic. And part of bringing in vendors, you kind of have to bring your organization in.
Of course.
It just wouldn't be a good look if you didn't at that point.
Definitely not.
But Neil, one thing that you were just telling me off camera, you have a very special reason to walk today. Could you tell me what is your reason to walk here at the Alzheimer's Walk?
Yeah, so about 5 years ago now, my father was diagnosed with early onset dementia, still slowly progressing, which we're thankful for, but starting to see some, of course, decay, and we're here to walk to raise money for further research and further treatment as well, and resources in the community.
Absolutely. And you said he's even going to be here sometime later, right?
Yes, sir. He's on his way over. He's actually going to be our support line for our coffee run out. It's been a great event, and a lot of people coming by our tent.
That's really awesome. I remember him from high school. Great guy, and I'm wishing him and you guys very, very well.
Yes, thank you, Connor.
Any last nugget that you want to share for anybody who is coming here to the event or those who will hopefully be here in the future?
Hey, don't be shy to reach out and ask for support, even the families going through it. It can be a lot on the loved ones as well. There's a lot of resources out in the community and a lot of future planning that you can essentially do for your family. So don't be shy, reach out to local community members. And that's really it. I'm Neil, and I'm glad we got to spend some time.
I've had the privilege of hearing some of your stories, and I'm inspired by all of you. Standing up to Alzheimer's takes immense bravery, and you have shown up in force. Alzheimer's is not going to back down, and neither will we. There are now treatments that can change the course of Alzheimer's. We're working to bring treatments home to Dutchess and Ulster counties because we walk. We are one step closer to the first survivor of Alzheimer's disease. We continue to support people in every stage of the disease. Let's lead the way to the end of Alzheimer's right now. Have a great walk, everybody. Head on out this way.
Hey, everybody. Right now, we are at the Champions Wall of Fame with the champion herself. Show off the medal right there. Fantastic. We have Tina Eckert with us here. Now, Tina, you are help running this whole event. What is your exact role here today?
So I'm the walk manager for this event. So the grand poobah, if you will.
I love that. That should be like on every like sign and name tag that you have. I love that. But that's fantastic. So here we are. Everybody's out there walking now. We're here just chilling at the tent, keeping it nice and easy for ourselves. But what has this been like working up to this event?
Oh my gosh, so it's been actually, we started this event probably September of 2024, before our 2024 event even happened, and we have a phenomenal committee. Everybody takes a little piece of what has to be done. We work hard all year, trying to find people that need us, trying to recruit teams, trying to get sponsors involved, and it's a lot leading up to the day of the event, and the day of the event is just the party.
Yeah.
It's the fun. We have so many great folks here.
Do you feel like you can breathe a sigh of relief knowing that this went so well today?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I can't take hardly any of the credit. I have phenomenal volunteers. We have a phenomenal committee of 26 amazing people. And my coworker colleagues. Everybody, it's a team effort. It's a village to build this. And it's great. It's really great. We are all feeling success. So, yes, a relief and success.
That's incredible. And we got the sun right now. The foliage is fantastic. It's a really beautiful event to have everybody here today. I've been asking each person I've been interviewing today, who/what is your reason to walk today?
So my reason to walk is my dad. My dad passed in 1985 from what at the time they called parting of the arteries. It wasn't even diagnosed as a dementia, which it now is.
Wow.
So yeah, basically it's Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I remember the day that my father didn't know who I was. Back in the mid-80s, like it was yesterday. So, yeah, that's my reason. This has to end. I don't want anybody to lose a family member, a dad, a loved one, like I did, because you miss them. You get to miss what would have happened if he were here. And nobody should have to think that about a loved one.
Their loved ones should be with them.
that's my motivation, you know, for the role as this my career, but also personally, it doesn't end. Yeah. You know, I'm a bigger volunteer, I think, than a staff person.
That's lovely. And of course, this goes on all year round. Besides just this walk today, there's so much to do. And if people want to contribute to this year's fundraising, this still goes towards the end of December, correct?
December 31st, folks can make donations for this year until December 31st. And then we will hit the ground running probably around January 5th for 2026.
It's always busy. Always keep moving.
Yeah, until we end, Alzheimer's, we're in it. We're in it until it ends.
But I've got to say, it is a beautiful thing having this community here today and be able to celebrate, you know, the strides that everybody's made, and then also celebrate the loved ones currently battling with it, or those who are past. And I think it's great. Tina, do you have any last little nugget for those watching this in retrospect about the event?
Yeah, absolutely. Come join us next year. This is an event you don't want to miss, especially if you've been touched by this disease. The association can help get you in touch with people that can help. And then, you know, in turn, hopefully folks want to come out and help us end this so other folks don't have to go through it. But everybody's
wonderful. Amen. I think that's beautiful. I'm Connor.
I'm Tina.
And as always, we're glad we get to
spend some time.
Hey, everybody. Right now, we are speaking with David Sobel, Executive Director of the Alzheimer's Association of the Hudson Valley. And honestly, it's a great day, and we're right in front of the flowers. David, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with me.
Hey, thanks for having me, Connor. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, as Executive Director, what is your role today as everybody is here in a sea of purple?
So, first and foremost, I love to go around and I love to talk to the sponsors. I love to talk to our participants, our top teams, our champions, and just thank everybody for their support. We have so many amazing people who are here who are supporting us today. And, you know, I want to go around and say hello to everybody. At 10 o'clock, we're going to kick off our opening ceremony. I'll be up there, yelling into the microphone. And, it really is a beautiful ceremony. It's an emotional ceremony. People are here because they have an affinity to the cause. And, you know, this opening ceremony really underlines that. Because everybody has a flower, you know, you see these flowers back here, everybody has a flower, a different color flower, and each flower represents something different, a different reason why that person is here, and you know, what they're dealing with regards to Alzheimer's and other dementia.
Absolutely, and one thing I'm asking everybody who I'm talking to here today, who or what is your reason for walking at the Walk to End Alzheimer's?
Yeah, so my friend Marnie, a good friend of mine, her parents, both of her parents, passed away from Alzheimer's. So I'm from Rockland, so one of our seven counties that we cover in the Hudson Valley chapter. Mm-hmm. And so I walk in the Rockland Walk. I have, I don't actually walk, but I fundraise for the Rockland Walk as part of Marnie's team. Last name that her parents have is Gold. So the team name is #GoForGold. And so I fundraise in honor of her parents.
That is so, so cool. So big one last question I want to ask you, because I know you have so many people to go off and say hello to today. Why is it important to be having this event here at the Walkway Over the Hudson, literally bridging Ulster and Dutchess County?
Yeah, I mean, we have seven counties that we cover in the Hudson Valley, and it's so critical for us to be reaching all of our constituents, no matter where they are. We have 400,000 people who are living here in the Hudson Valley, in New York State, 40,000 of which in the Hudson Valley, who are dealing with Alzheimer's and dementia right now. And so our goal is to reach as many people as humanly possible so that they know that we have these amazing programs and services. You know, we have our 800 number, 800-272-3900. 24/7, 365, you can reach somebody on the other end of the line who is a master's in social work, and they can help with the care plan. And all of our programs and services are free of charge. So that's our goal, is to make sure that people know that we are here with support groups, with care programs, with informational, educational programs. That's what we are doing in the community, while at the same time, we're doing global research for the number one nonprofit funder of Alzheimer's dementia research in the world. And we want to live in a world, we want to find the cure and find the cause, find the cure, and live in a world without Alzheimer's and all of it.
That's fantastic. David, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you. I'm Connor.
I'm David.
And as always, we're glad we get to
spend some time.
And pause. We're going to take a quick break from our interviews to hear from our sponsors. First up, we got our friend Andrew O'Grady from MHA of Dutchess County.
Adversity and stress. How do you cope? I'm dealing with a voice issue right now, my own adversity and stress. So let's use AI Andy for the rest of this message. Take it away, AI Andy.
This is Andrew O'Grady, CEO at MHA of Dutchess County. We all move on a scale of mental wellness. It can shift minute by minute, hour by hour, based on what we face. What happens when it piles on? How do you cope? Do you turn to the bottle or vape? Do you medicate with pills not prescribed for that purpose? Do you become short-tempered and argue with others? Are you quick to road rage? These are self-defeating and negative reactions, and they're unhealthy and can lead to self-inflicted further stress. There's no shame in seeking to improve you by engaging in self-care with a therapist. If you do not know where to start, talk to your primary care physician. You can always contact Mental Health America of Dutchess County at 845-473-2500, and if we don't have a specific program to help you, we will help guide you to one.
Thanks, AI Andy. You sound pretty good.
Thanks, Andrew and AI Andy. Next, we have a message from our friend Jeff Feldman from Feldman, Kleiman, Collins, and Sape LLP, attorneys at law.
Hi, I'm Jeff Feldman. In 1986, when Paul Kleiman and I started our practice, our goal was to create a law firm where you could meet with an attorney and feel confident that that attorney would be with you every step of the way. Today, the firm has been successfully trying cases at all levels of state and federal courts throughout the Hudson Valley and Capital District. We have been selected as one of the best personal injury and medical malpractice defense law firms by U.S. News and World Report every year since 2009. For all of those years, we were the only firm chosen in any litigation specialty between Albany and White Plains. Your case is important to us. Giving you the time and personal attention you deserve has always been the hallmark of success. Initial consultations are free of charge and always with an attorney.
A message from Dutchess Beer Distributors. From now to the end of November, Dutchess Beer Distributors presents Football Face-Off. Come on out to your favorite Hudson Valley bars and restaurants where you can win free Bud Light and neutral seltzers, along with other awesome prizes. Try your hand at one of their three games: football toss, beer can cornhole, or flick a field goal. You can check out the events calendar to see where Dutchess Beer Distributors will be next in the description of this episode.
Take steps toward cures by joining the Breakthrough T1D Walk, formerly the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation One Walk, the leading type 1 diabetes walk. As a walker, you'll be part of a passionate community helping make everyday life better for people with type 1 diabetes as we drive towards curing it. This year's Hudson Valley Walk will take place at the East Fishkill Rec Center on Sunday, October 26th, with registration starting at 12 noon. For more information, please visit BreakthroughT1D.org. Up next, we have our friend Philomena Finelli from Impact PR and Communications.
Thanks, Connor. I'm Philomena Finelli, CEO of Impact PR and Communications and a media maven, which is a fancy way of saying that my team and I help companies get in the news, transform leaders into thought leaders, and cut through the clutter with messaging that matters. And we do it all with a smile. Our agency was named the Woman-Owned Small Business of the Year for 2024 by the Metro New York District Office of the U.S. Small Business Administration, and we received the Gold Stevie Award for Woman-Run Workplace of the Year, which is an international recognition. But it's not about the awards, it's about the personal interactions. We at Impact PR and Communications pride ourselves on crafting meaningful, results-driven public relations campaigns that are tailored to meet and exceed our clients' goals. If you want to learn more and talk to my team and I, visit PRwithimpact.com and let us know that you found out about us from Walsh Wednesday.
Thanks for listening, guys. It's time to get back to the show and play. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by Impact PR and Communications, MHA of Dutchess County, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Locks That Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins, and Sape LLP, attorneys at law, Vivash Med Spa and the Hudson Valley Ketamine Lounge, and Walsh Valuation. Hey there, and welcome back to Walsh Wednesday. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and we got a great episode for you guys today. I'm really excited to have this actress with us today. We met on the set of it's a big-time show. We'll talk about it in a little bit, and it was shot here in the Hudson Valley, and we've stayed in touch ever since then, and we're here to promote several things that she's got, a couple of short films, not just that, her acting and modeling and all together. With us today, we have Autumn Ivy. Autumn, how are you?
I'm doing dolly.
I love it.
I'm feeling good. Had a long day, but I'm drinking my little
drinking
energy.
Your Red Bull.
Yep. Yeah, it's giving me wings.
There
so
you
I'm
go.
I'm ready to fly to
Absolutely.
The studio.
Absolutely.
to Wash Wednesday.
I appreciate you flying over here. Absolutely. No, and it's so good to see you. And this is a great time of year for you. Your birthday just passed. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yes,
so having a birthday during spooky season, that ought to be fun, right?
It is. Yeah. I mean, all my birthday parties when I was little were all like Halloween themed. Everyone dressed up and everything. So cool. It was a fun time to be born.
Yeah. I love it. I'm born just right after Halloween, but I don't know. It's like this season kind of leads up to my birthday.
Are you a Libra
too? Not a Libra, Scorpio.
Okay.
Yep. That's what I get every time I tell people I'm a Scorpio. I had a coworker trying to guess what my sign was, and she couldn't figure it out, and I told her Scorpio, and she literally shuddered and stepped back. And I was like, what?
Heartbreak.
I'm not that bad of a guy. I swear.
Honestly, I don't even know why people don't like Scorpios.
We're intense, I guess. I think that's the...
At least you're not like two-faced.
At least I don't think
Geminis,
I am.
I think.
I don't know much about astrology. I don't know. Like, I'm interested to learn more, but I just don't know much about it.
I think that the moon affects the tides, and we're like 90% water.
Yes.
So my thing is like, I don't know if I believe in exactly the zodiac signs, but like the moons probably affect us a little bit.
Oh, big time.
Right?
Absolutely. I agree. There's science behind it. They've looked into things. Do I know the science? Absolutely not. But I know that there is some science behind it, which is very, very neat. But yeah, Autumn, when we originally met on the set of Pretty Little Liars Original Sin, that reboot that they were doing for HBO. I'm going to admit something. I still haven't watched it.
Yeah, I did watch. I can't lie. Me and my friends watched and it was a fun little viewing party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How often did you find yourself?
A decent amount of times, actually. Nice. I mean, that was my first production.
Yeah.
Like in general. So I remember when I first got the email, I was like, this is fake. And I was like, nah. and then I came on and
took the leap of faith and there you showed up.
Yeah, took the leap of faith and so I was pretty psyched to see myself on, a HBO set. And I feel like at that time, I was like kind of weighing between attending a college where like you're not allowed to audition for anything for 4 years starting that. So I kind of like, it was kind of a big decision, honestly, to start with there.
Interesting.
And I'm feeling like everything happens for a reason, you know? And like on that set, I met so many people like you and so many people that I still have connections with. And that was like a really, really great, like humble first experience. And I'm really happy of that because a lot of people get thrown on very chaotic like sets and don't really understand and feel like what it's like. So, I mean, there were some crazy people on that set.
There were some crazy people on that set, but there were also some really fun people.
Yeah.
You know, I was very lucky to continue working with a number of people in a variety of different ways, like met some musicians who I'd eventually collaborated or share bills with or other people do other film projects with, whether a bigger or smaller scale. You know, it was really cool. And I'm grateful you were one of the people that I got to meet. And, we're still in contact. And fortunately, there's still a handful of other people that I'm still in contact with from it, too.
Do you do acting still or do you stick
not
to
as
music?
Much. Okay. Not as much as I did before. Funny enough, actually, I've acted in a couple of short films and horror movies recently. And we got horror and thriller stuff to talk about for yourself, too.
Do you enjoy the horror?
I do.
I enjoy the horror.
I do. Well, it's fun.
It's fun. It's new. Viral was my first horror movie I've done. And I think I like it there.
You like the horror genre?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Here you were. You were born into spooky season.
No wonder, yeah.
Your very first on-set experience was Pretty Little Liars Original Sin.
Oh, wait.
Which,
That was pretty deadly, too, actually.
It was. I didn't realize how horrific that show was in the way, like, the mysteries, the murder mysteries, how spooky it could be.
I feel like it was a pretty decent... I don't think it's still going, though.
No, I don't think it is.
No.
No, I think it did end. I don't know if that season performed as well as they were hoping it was going to.
I really liked the cast, but I think the writing was a little... Compared to the original.
Yeah, the original went on for how many seasons? I don't even know.
Well, what's funny about the original is they didn't know who A was.
Yes.
So they just kept going.
Yep.
So the ending doesn't even make sense.
No, not really.
But it's still iconic.
We
exist in that universe.
We do exist in that universe.
We are Pretty Little Liars.
We are. We could be lying right now. This whole thing is a sham. No, but let's talk about that. You brought up Viral. It's a horror thriller that you filmed here in the Hudson Valley. It was accepted to the Scarecon Film Festival along with AFH Events. With Scarecon, I don't know so much about AFH, but Scarecon, that's pretty big. That's the Northeast Premier Horror, Sci-Fi, and Pop Culture Convention. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, they had some amazing shows there.
Nice. So Let's back it up to getting it a part of this film. How'd you get involved with Viral, and what was your role in this?
I sent in a little audition tape through some casting director, some agent. This was a while ago at this point. It was pretty quick, honestly. The whole process was pretty quick, and it was definitely the most challenging film I've been on, though.
Okay.
Because it really pushes something out of you to, like, die.
Spoiler, she dies. Oh no. No, but
I think that's pretty given.
If it's a horror film, people are gonna
die. It's pretty given. Yeah. But
that's fascinating. So yeah, what can you tell us about the film without giving away like too much of the plot?
Well, it's basically about some serial deranged killer who is coming after these influencers.
Gotcha. And I'm assuming you're one of the influencers then?
Kind of. Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of. But I'm in with them. I'm in with the big dog, so he doesn't like me.
Okay. So you're part of the group, so that you're guilty by association with
Guilty by association. And it's pretty bloody, pretty gory, but I think that it was such a good team, like really strong writing, and even though it was one of the most, like, not uncomfortable because the people were so amazing, but uncomfortable just because it was out of my, like, range of what I'm used to doing. That, like, there was this one part where with the SFX makeup, I had to keep my eyes closed with makeup on for, like, over an hour.
Oh.
And then with, like, fake blood on me and everything. So, like, your senses are kind of shut off, too. So you really have to rely on everyone around you. So it was a really, really great team.
That's
honestly
cool.
That made it so comfortable. Otherwise, it would have been kind of hard, I feel like, to go through all that.
Nice. And you said with Scarecon then, were you there for Scarecon when everything was being shown? No.
Well,
no, it's all good. But that's a pretty cool thing to have this movie shown there. Did you hear in retrospect how everything went and how it was received?
Yeah, apparently it was really well received. And the director, I know, had a couple conversations with the people there, and he was really happy with how it was viewed. And feels good, because I know as a director, you put a lot of your energy, time, money, and then you cast these people. And as an actor, you're the one who has to kind of bring their vision to life, which sometimes is kind of pressuring, you know?
It is daunting, ain't it?
Yeah. That's why I really love, like, feeling like you're kind of collaborating with people and making something together.
Yeah. How was the rest of the cast? It sounds like it was very collaborative and fun and engaging, right?
I feel like everyone got really close. We stayed at, like, an Airbnb up in Kingston, New York.
Nice.
So right in the middle of the Hudson Valley.
Yeah.
And it was around this season, too. So it was, like, the perfect weather and everything. And then I actually, I just filmed another film, short thriller last week.
Oh, really?
Where I was on the opposite end of the spectrum, though. I was doing the killing.
Oh my gosh.
So.
Wow. All right.
I'm finding my way in this little horror niche.
Nice.
Niche, and how you say it?
Yeah, niche. No, but it sounds like you never expected to be in this niche, though.
No, I didn't. I kind of thought more like, I really want to do more dramas and such, but. Honestly, something about the people that also do, like, horror movies, they're, like, wackos, and they're so much fun to work with, and they're, like, the most unjudgmental people that, like, you would ever meet, and, like, yeah, I just really like the community. I think that they have a really big community as well.
It is a really cool community. As somebody who's just recently getting into a lot more of these independent horror movies myself, just the people that I've been able to meet and the discussions we're able to get out of it is really cool. Actually, somebody that I had on Walsh Wednesday a little while back, Andy, the reason we met was through a horror film. He killed me in a film, and he was saying on set, I was like, yeah, it's weird doing this. This is so against type for me, because everybody knows me as this fun, lovable guy. And this is literally the first time I ever met him. It's like, funny, because I only know you as the guy who kills me.
First
impressions. But
you don't seem like a murderer. I definitely wouldn't.
I haven't. Let's see. Have I? No.
No.
Oh, wait. No, wait. There was one film that we did where it's alluded at the end where I might kill someone. That one was a really... That was
it's
a
like
really
a psychological.
It was a psychological thing, because essentially what happens is we get under the influence of something, and a giant stuffed bear starts talking to me and starts trying to convince me to kill one of my best friends.
See, horror movies are also just so, like, random.
It can be. It can be. It was still a fun experience nonetheless. So yeah, with Viral, that's really cool to be able to
get involved with something like this, get into the horror genre. Obviously, it was just shown at Scarecon. Now, I know when it comes to festivals, there are rules about like when things can premiere and when things can come out to the public. Is there a timeline of when people can start seeing this? Or is it out there already?
I don't think that it's actually out yet.
Okay.
I think that we're still actually submitting it to festivals in like the process and trying to like kind of juice up as much of that as we can, especially in this season.
Yeah.
So probably, hopefully soon though. I mean, honestly, I should talk to the casting director because I think now during this fall time would be more than...
Oh, it would be great to get it out.
Right?
But also at the same time, I understand how film festivals can be. They have like exclusivity clauses while you're going through the festival circuit. So I understand. So be on the lookout in the festival circuit for it, and we'll keep you up to date on it. Is there social media for the film?
No, but... there is my social media, Autumn Ivy NY. Viral is about a group of social media influencers who becomes the target of a tactical trained serial killer.
Ooh, tactical and trained.
Yeah.
Wow.
He had knives.
He had knives.
Which was kind of scary. Also, like I told you, this whole thing was kind of like pushing me out of my like boundaries in that sense. Like fake knives and everything. Mm-hmm. But you know that one actor who accidentally shot...
Oh, talking about the whole Alec Baldwin situation when it ended up being a loaded gun. Yeah, that's scary.
It's so sad, but I think since then, it's given everybody like a little bit of, not just anxiety, but everyone's a little bit more cautious now, which is really good.
Yeah, no, you definitely got to be cautious in something like that. But still, somebody comes at you with a fake knife, you're still going to be scared.
Well, because there was three knives, and they told me two of them are like not sharp anymore, and one of them is still sharp, and he won't pull that one out. And I was like... what if he accidentally pulls out the sharp one?
I was going to say, that's a 1 in 3 chance. That's a 1 in 3 chance.
I was like, I don't know if I feel comfortable with that. So I did go up to them and I talked to them and I was like, can we like maybe sharpen it, not use that knife? And then they ended up, the way they did it, they didn't even actually need to pull out the knife with me there. Oh, so they compromise. That's why you should just always talk. Communication.
Yeah.
So important.
Movie magic. You never know how it's all being done. People don't have to be in the same room anymore. It's funny the way that it works out.
But not with AI.
Yeah, not with AI. Not a fan of AI on that. When, just like anything, AI can be a phenomenal tool, but when it actually takes away the human experience... that's when it's dangerous, in my opinion.
Like the creativity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, when Marvel got under a lot of scrutiny when they did Secret Invasion. First of all, Secret Invasion was a garbage fire. But the opening sequence was made by AI, and everybody could tell. And not
was
many,
it really?
Yeah.
I didn't even. When did that movie come out?
Not the movie. It was a TV show on Disney Plus. And the title sequence was AI generated. And did not look good and people were not happy.
I'm honestly surprised. I feel like it's all in commercials because commercials are already so soulless. But it still makes me kind of sad.
Oh, no.
As an actor looking for any jobs they can get. Not any jobs. But I mean like a lot of them.
No, it makes sense. There was somebody that I was working with in the radio industry where he was saying he could record something. And then he had a database that used AI to put a filter over his voice. It can make it sound like you, make it sound like me, make it sound like a random person. And it's like, so now I don't have to hire voice actors to do these and I can get these out quicker. Mm. And I was like, but I'm one of those voice people and you're screwing me out of the job. And it was a very scary thing to hear. And it's funny because I hear some of those commercials and
you can kind of tell. But
you can tell.
Can kind of tell. I hate that I sometimes look at something and I can't tell if it's real.
Yeah.
I really hate that feeling.
We're at that point though.
We are. It's not like a future thing. It's like we are here completely. Yeah.
And I don't want it to take away from the human experience because that's how we connect with each other.
Well, I heard that Walmart just went on a 3-year hiring freeze because they want to use like more AI innovations.
Oh my gosh.
Technology.
Oh geez.
So I don't know if that's like fully true.
That might be maybe not like on the direct storefront, but maybe like higher up, perhaps. I wouldn't be surprised, though. I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, there was this one actress. She's not an actress.
Oh, what's her name? I think I know who you're about to talk
about. She's not an actress.
Yeah.
But the AI actress. But SAG put a notice out. They're like, no.
We're not accepting that.
We're not condoning this. This isn't an actress. Because like AI art doesn't exist. There is no such thing. Art is made by humans. Mm. Or by creatives. Like... it's AI is just like a pattern of everything we've already done. It's just like a crazy ultra search engine. It's a little bit plagiarism.
It is plagiarism. 100% is.
Yeah.
Yeah, because these these AIs need to learn from somewhere, and they're taking from all these sources on the internet, and it's from artists that they're not giving any credit to, and then the artist suffers from it.
Yeah, as an artist, like, I have a new clause in all my contracts that say, like, you can't use my likeness, my voice, my anything for AI.
Good.
Because it's like, you literally have to.
No, it's true. You got to be careful on that now.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, honestly, though, working on the set of Viral, mm-hmm. with all the, like, SFX yeah, makeup and, like, movie magic, it's so fun seeing the process of everyone coming together and making it happen. And then we all stay in the Airbnb, and they were so excited editing it already that night, like, already working on it. Like, that's what art is, you know, an innovation. And AI can't replicate that.
No, it can't. That's the heart, you know, it's like, that's the heart of the art. And it's a really incredible opportunity when you can share that with people, you know, that collaboration. And the fact that y'all got to be in a house all together and experience that together, that's such a sweet bonding experience. That's cool when you're able to do something like that.
Yeah, that's what I want my life to be filled with. Honestly, that's the goal.
That's a beautiful goal to have. Honestly, I really love that. So obviously, keep us in touch with what's going on with Viral. We definitely want to hear as things continue and prosper with that. But there was another short film that you messaged me about that you shot out in Colorado. You were talking about. And this one's a little bit different than Spooky Season, even though people might find this topic very scary. But talking about two people who don't see eye to eye. You specifically said to me it was two people who didn't vote the same way and they were having a conversation.
Yeah.
And that is – it's such a simple premise in nature based on what you're telling me. But we've come to a point, at least in Western society, at least here in the U.S., where it's very difficult to have a conversation with people with opposing views.
That's
very
not a debate, too.
Exactly. So many people are so quick to point fingers, shut themselves off, and to alienate and antagonize. But this project sounds like a conversation. Could you tell us more about it?
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely right. We literally had someone sitting on the grass, like, heckling at us.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, like, this just the political and economical state of the world right now, it's a sensitive topic, and people are really, like, people feel so passionately about it. I think that, like, it's hard to know, like, what's socially acceptable to even talk about with each other, with your friends. There's such a fine line with politics and morals, and it's definitely, like, people have a hard time already talking in general, I think, about, like, hard conversations. And a lot of people, I think, didn't really care too much about politics, like, 5-10 years ago, at least, like, in our generation group. But, like, a lot more people are starting to talk about it and, I think, care a lot more, which is definitely a good thing. Like, there are people are voting more and forming their own opinions. So this was – Colorblind was sort of like a little glimpse into two young people just sitting down. They were a couple.
Interesting.
Yeah, which can definitely be really difficult, I feel like.
I know enough couples who do have, you know, differences in opinions when it comes to voting and politics and things along those lines. So that would hit home for a lot of people. That's interesting.
This was definitely a really special project because we wanted to be sensitive and also bring this director's vision to life at the same time. But without stepping on anyone's toes too much, you know, because, like, it is hard. I don't know. Well, the director is a anonymous director.
Oh, really? Didn't want to be known,
This was his first, like, debut film.
Okay.
And his anonymous name as a director is Joaquin Dolly.
Okay.
And
that's his pseudonym. We're not giving away his real name.
You're watching this. Don't worry.
Nope.
No, he entrusted me to, well, at first it wasn't political, actually.
Oh, interesting.
It was truly, the film was called Colorblind because the one boy, my boyfriend in it, he is colorblind in the film. And it was really just about people can go their whole lives seeing something one way. And it's about perspective.
Yeah.
Simply. And then with everything being so heightened after in the political and economic world, he asked me, he sent me an updated script and he was like, what do you think of this? And I was like, I don't know.
Oh, wow.
I had to think about it for a couple of days because he's an anonymous director who has some political views now that my face is the one kind of showing.
Okay.
So, and then I was also going all the way to Colorado.
Yeah.
I feel like each acting experience is really like a new push of my boundary, but only ways I feel comfortable with, you know? Yeah. It's good to push yourself. Yeah. That's what you want in life, is to make a difference. And because that's what I want. I want my films to actually like mean something too, you know? And I thought this film will cue conversation by just being an example. My boyfriend in it is colorblind, and it kind of talks about how we view the world differently because of that. That is sort of the metaphor for like the landscape of the whole film involving like politics. And that will be out in about a month. The release date isn't out yet, but the release date should be out pretty soon.
Nice.
And I'm excited and nervous for the public to see it.
No, I can understand. Absolutely. So without giving away too much of this one too, the conversation and the way that you guys highlighted the different perspectives that your characters had, how would you say that was handled? Would you say it was handled with hostility? Was it handled with patience and respect? Or was there a mix? Did it have ebbs and flows throughout it?
I would say that they were both a little sassy. Mm-hmm. We throw... There's an F-bomb in there.
That'll just happen. That's real life.
I think that honestly, the film, it's a little tense at parts, I would say, of where it feels like they're debating, you know? But it really turns into more of, I would say, of like an acceptance of each other. But I still think that it makes the point that we wanted.
That's good. And I think the idea of the acceptance is one of the biggest things, as we just said, you know, having conversations with people that don't have the same views as us. Some people shut them down before those conversations can even start. I'll say one of my best friends growing up, him and I do not, he's on one side of the spectrum, I'm on the other side of the spectrum, but we have such a respect and understanding for each other where we can sit down and have those conversations. And I feel like we learn from each other a lot because of it. And, you know, helps our perspectives. That's good. You know, that's how you learn. What was it in Ted Lasso? Don't be judgmental. Be curious.
Yeah. Ask why. That's what my dad always says.
Yeah.
As I was growing up, ask why. And I've always asked why to everything. And it's gotten me in trouble sometimes. But it's good. You want to know the truth. I mean, it's your life.
It's funny how asking why gets people in trouble. I've 100% been there myself as well. I remember even when I was at, I went to a Catholic school growing up. And there were just certain things that we were being taught I didn't understand. And it's like, and I would simply ask why, or this doesn't make sense, or isn't this contradictory to something else we learned? And, you know, people in the parish or the teachers didn't like the questions I was asking. And I wasn't trying to be
I think it's sometimes controversial. They don't have answers.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And that's tough. And when you don't have answers, are you going to just accept that, hey, I don't have an answer? Or are you going to make something up or just dig a deeper hole? And that's something that a lot of people do too, where instead of just saying it's like, oh, you know what? I don't have enough on this topic to talk about it right now. Can we come back to this? Or hey, or do you have more on it? I would love to learn more from you. A lot of people don't do that. They'll just stop at what they know and just go. Yeah,
and they go into the conversation already angry, like already kind of ready to fire back at anything you say, not listening.
Yeah.
I think the premise of Colorblind was just to listen because there might be a perspective that you simply just can't see.
No, that's really beautiful. Yeah. I love it with the colorblind analogy, the way that it's working.
The director
literally
was actually colorblind.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's probably where he
probably gets it from.
Yeah.
The whole concept of being colorblind is very fascinating to me. Yeah. And have you ever heard the like theories that we all actually might see colors differently from each other anyway?
Mm-hmm.
That one just blows my mind. There's this YouTube duo, Chris and Jack, and they did a sketch where they switch bodies. And they kept saying, it's like, dude, your blue is my brown and stuff like that. And it's like,
I need to know. I hope that when we die, we get like a book that says like every single time that you did this, every single time that you almost died, every single time that you, I don't know.
That would be fascinating. That'd be so, so cool.
Something like that.
Some kind of like pamphlet,
every time someone
some
lied
book.
To you.
Yep. Oh.
And it has all the lies.
Oh, that would be.
It would be kind of scary.
That is kind of creepy. That is kind of scary. That'd be very interesting. And that could be a film in and of itself.
Oh yeah, yeah. Right?
Put that down. That. Get on it. That could be very, very interesting.
I actually am working on a film.
Are you now?
I'm currently writing. Yeah, I'm writing a thriller.
Ooh, a thriller,
yeah,
huh?
I've fallen in.
You've fallen into this, huh?
Yeah.
That's cool. Early stages, or you feel like you're coming a long way with it?
Oh, very early stages.
Very early stages.
Even though I've been working this for a long time, I need to focus.
It's all good. Stuff like this happens. You know, it's like, and who knows, you might hit a point where it's like it hits you all at once and like you're finish it like in a week.
Yeah.
And then, but here you've been working on it for months or years or whatever, but right inspiration hits you and then you'll be done in an instant. You never know. Yeah. I've had that with songs. I've had that with albums. I've had that with other projects. I know other people with similar ways where everything just finally clicks.
Yeah. I you know, focusing on money and everything all the time gets in the way.
It does. But
I'm trying to, I really would love to figure out, my goal is to, you know, be financially dependent in the entertainment world.
Mm-hmm.
And feeling good in the direction I'm going. That's why I want to start creating myself, you know.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of films where I've worked for people, but I have a lot of ideas and I love bringing people together.
Yeah.
I love like connecting people. Like my birthday parties are like the most random of all types of people all together. And I'm like, please all hang out together for me. You guys would love each other. I promise. So I want to make something, you know. I have a couple things that I'm currently working on. So when those are out, I'll let you know.
Please do.
They're actually going to be local, some of the projects I have going on.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, please keep us in the know with all that. So one thing I do want to bring up, since you said wanting to become financially dependent on the industry and not have to worry about other things, that was another way that we kept running into each other. You were working at Starbucks. I was door dashing.
That was literally how we like reconnected.
Exactly.
I remember seeing you walk in. I was like, that's Connor. That is Connor, right? Oh, I'm in this stupid green apron.
I was totally zoned out that first time and just like, just let me just get the meal. Let me just go. And the way you're like, Connor? And I'm like, you snap me out of it. I'm like, huh? What? Huh? It's like, oh, Autumn, hi.
Which I would be so scared because I hate when people see me in public that I like vaguely know. if I'm like working is what I mean.
That's fair.
You know, when I got the green apron on, I'm hustling it back there. I don't want.
I know there is some bit about it. Like, I don't know why it's something like, oh, you don't want to see anybody from your personal life see you at your job. It's like, this feels embarrassing for some reason.
But it's not embarrassing at all.
No.
But I go into work looking like crap, feeling like crap. I'm on my phone trying to submit to acting applications the entire time, getting in trouble with my manager. It's,
Yep.
That's well, life.
That's me when I'm door dashing. It's like, put on the hat, put on the hoodie, just whatever kind of semi-clean jeans, just run out and just get it done.
Yeah.
I haven't had to DoorDash in a while. I've been busy in other ways. So
you've been busy?
I've been happy that I haven't had to do that. So
I know it brings you everywhere.
It does bring you everywhere.
It's like also kind of physically, I'm sure, on you, getting in and out of the car.
Oh, yeah.
Like the whole day. Like
and then
that.
Depending on the weather too, like what time of year, like especially in the colder seasons, like that can be brutal.
Yeah, I've been working at all these coffee chains like Starbucks and everything for a while now.
Yeah.
And I've kind of just made a decision this week, very recently,
mm-hmm.
and I'm manifesting it for myself. So I'm going to talk about it on here.
Let's manifest it. Let's make it happen.
I decided to stop doing background acting. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, when I started working at Starbucks, because this one actor guy that I met at an after party, he told me, if you do background work, then casting directors know you as a background actor.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of made sense. I was like, that kind of hits. I was like, but then again, like, I don't want them to know me as a barista anymore.
That's fair.
Okay?
That's fair.
So, and I feel like I can meet a lot more people on sets. So I'm making the coffee tomorrow and this week, and then I'm going to South Carolina right after. And I'm going to try to like line up as many background gigs and such as I can, because I want to leave it. I want to leave there.
I get it.
So bad. And I want to be able to focus on what I want to. And it's so like, so scary leaving your job.
It is.
It's so scary. And I've been working so long though at the same place. And I feel like sometimes you have to like do something scary, like leave part
of your
work.
To make it happen. Yeah. Yeah. Like I'll admit with this whole thing here, you know, when I was at the radio station still, I kept thinking, it's like, I need to get out of here. I need to get out of here. I need to get out of here. In my case, the decision was made for me. There was a company-wide layoff, and I happened to be one of them.
I hate layoffs.
And so then the decision was, it's like, all right, do I go try to find another job or do I do something on my own? Kind of did a little bit of both, because I also work part-time for Dutch's Beer Distributors, helping them out with their events.
Cool.
I'm their event coordinator over there.
That's
but besides
cool.
that, I started this whole business, and I just made the opportunity for myself.
Exactly. You made the opportunity for yourself. You created.
Yeah.
You are entrepreneuring it up.
Trying. Doing
inspire
my best.
Inspire me. I'm going to entrepreneur it up.
Entrepreneur it up. You got it, Autumn.
In South Carolina, I feel like I'm going to come back like a new person.
Like a whole new woman, changed and charged up, ready to go.
It's from that ocean water.
There you go.
Drink it up, I guess. And I'm going to come back a new woman.
There you go.
And quit my job.
Just it's like, I'm getting out of here, doing great new things. And I know you will do great new things.
It's just the corporate life. I just don't like working for the man.
I feel that. I feel that. You know,
that's all it is.
It's true. Seeing the way that corporate worked, I was not very pleased
and
with
how it is.
And
like the layoffs, the way they laid you
off. It's soulless.
I just feel like a multi-million dollar company has no excuse. Starbucks just laid over 900 stores.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
And then 2 days later, with no warning that these people were going to be fired.
Yeah.
While they were already trained to release a brand new drinks and then release those 2 days later. I just feel like, wow. I don't know.
That is sad.
Not to throw Starbucks under the bus.
No, but it's a reality, though. It's a reality that we're living in, and just the way that, unfortunately, you know, in a lot of these corporate worlds, people are just simply seen as numbers and not
like
the people that they
are. Thousands
of
people who just lost their job.
Yeah.
That's just so, like, and then so Starbucks has this great opportunity where they, if you stay with them for, like, 4 years, you can go to school through them.
Oh, cool.
Through ASU, like nice. Arizona State University.
Oh, nice.
So many people just lost their schooling.
Yeah. That's tough. Wow. That really sucks.
Like, dang, your free education that you maybe were working there
for. You
know,
you're working towards.
So that's why I really want to, like, create a business, honestly, one day that's made in the right way.
Yeah.
I want to change this world. I want to clean all the water in the world.
Do it.
That's my goal.
Work towards it. Absolutely. No, I think that's a good goal. You know, I always have thought, like, using art as a vehicle to be able to help make the change in the world, whatever that be, whether you're starting something yourself or you're helping to promote or work alongside somebody that has a similar goal as you do.
Yeah.
So I think that's a very beautiful thing. Autumn, I've kept you here for a good amount of time so far, so I don't mean to hold you up by any means.
No.
We'll have more information on Thriller and Colorblind as the information comes out. In the meantime, we'll have Autumn's Instagram along with any other links and sources that you give me put in the description. We'll have that ready to go. Autumn, again, we're really excited with everything that's going on with your career, with all your acting, your new thriller and horror side, this niche that you're falling into. Before we completely wrap up, do you have any last little nugget that you want to share with the Walsh Wednesday listening audience?
Peace is a practice. Practice more.
I like that. Very, very good. We're going to leave it on that. Again, make sure that you follow her in the links in the description. We'll have all that coming up and more. Really excited for Viral, for Colorblind, and all the other projects that you got coming up.
Yeah, lots more coming. Lots more to tell you about. We'll definitely have to do this again soon.
Terrific. Thank you, Autumn.
Thank you.
I'm Connor.
I'm Autumn.
And as always, we're glad we get to
spend some time.
And that's a wrap on this week's episode. Much love to our sponsors this week, Impact PR and Communications, MHA of Dutchess County, Locks That Rock Hair Design, Dutchess Beer Distributors, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins & Safe LLP, Attorneys at Law, the Dutchess Ulster Walked and Alzheimer's, Vivash Med Spa and the Hudson Valley Ketamine Lounge, Walsh Valuation, and Day Rock. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. You can support this channel by becoming a Patreon member with memberships as low as $5 a month. With that, you can get behind-the-scenes content, your name featured in the credits of each episode, and access to the Spend Some Time chat. You can find that and more by scanning the QR code on your screen or by going to the links in the description. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and I'm glad we get to spend some time.